gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry? Then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? We are back like we never left. Dude, we took a week off, no fights, but here we are. In the Easter spirit, we have resurrected the show. We are back, and we are here to make some money this week. We have an absolutely, I'm just gonna say what it is. It's fun. This is a fun card. It's got me in my feels. This is like a fight fans little fight fans HJ is what this is, man. I like this card. I like this card a lot. But I'm in here.
Over the pants or under the pants? Oh, dude?
This is an under the pants one, bro.
Oh, sick.
This is an under the pants. Oh, man. So listen, I'm happy you're here. Trey Van Buskirk in the building. Dude, it's I haven't seen your face in 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks since I've seen you. I'm gonna say a couple things. One, you look skinnier.
That's not true.
And two, you've got the locks covered up. What's going on, man? What are we doing here? Why you got the lettuce covered?
I'm covering everything up, dude. I dove deep into my daughter's Easter basket. I've been eating the chocolates out of control. It's so funny you went skinny. I don't know, maybe the sugar's like sucking everything in, but those Kit Kat bars are fucking getting your boy, dude.
Yeah, I love Kit Kats, man. I'm a big Kit Kat fan.
I was telling other kids, I'm like, hey, my daughter is not that fast. She cannot get to the eggs. I don't want her bringing home this chocolate. Right. Here's 10 bucks. Here's the golden egg.
Yeah.
Dude, any egg she goes for, just bull rush her.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? I saw a psychopath one time. So, as you know, I used to work in the prison system. I was a correctional officer for many years. And I saw a guy there one time open up a Kit Kat, right, and just bite the middle of it.
That's for sure psychopath's
diet. He did not break it off. He did not break it off one link at a time. He literally bit the middle of it. Who does that?
Psychopath.
Psychopath, right?
Lock that guy up.
I saw him do it, and I was like, now I see why you're in prison, because you're the worst kind of person. So even if like parole was coming up, I would have been like, that guy eats his Kit Kats in the middle, and they were like, we can't let you out.
I would say either that, or if you ever ask someone how many licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop and they actually did it, I don't want to know that person. I don't want to know them.
There was always that kid in high school, though, that was like always going to try that. You know what I mean? That wore like the graphic t-shirts that said, my second language is sarcasm and all that other crap. Like, it's all like, this is my stay away from me shirt. Like, that's those kids were the ones that were always like, it's actually 797 licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop. That's who does that. So yeah, 100%, man.
And then he sticks out like a Gene Simmons tongue and you're like, holy shit,
yeah,
he did it.
You're so weird. Yeah, you're so weird. Yeah. It's also like that kid would get like a girlfriend like junior or senior year, and they would just sit there and just like hold each other. Like, they don't even do anything. It's like they just sit there and they're just constantly holding on to each other. Do you know the kids I'm talking about?
That's love, Dale. That's love.
I guess so. Well, apparently you were that kid. So, okay.
Some California love, dude.
Yeah. So, hey, check this out. So my dad is coming from Pennsylvania. He's on his way to South Carolina. He'll be here Thursday. And you know what else gets here on Thursday? I went ahead and I decided to treat the old man.
I know what you did. You did the little, I ship out on Tuesday, I get it on Thursday. Best meat you can get delivered right to your doorstep.
I did. So here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. I didn't even notice this, but you know, Scott sent me a little message, said, hey, we got something new on the website. They have the ultimate sampler box. Have you seen the ultimate sampler box? Yeah. It has one of everything in it. So I was like, I need it. I need one of everything. Send me one of everything. Mm. So yeah, I got a one of everything showing up on Thursday, and I use promo code FIST. I saved 10% on the entire thing. So
and duly sausage, dude, would not be the worst thing in my life.
Yeah. You know, can I put this, I'm going to put this up, 'cause I want you to see this.
I know. People want to know.
What's the comment say? Hey, what shirt is that, Trey? I need all caps too.
This is one of my favorites. This is a Tombstone Taylor season one shirt, the Live Life Fast shirt. I know everyone loves that logo. You can get this logo on a plethora of different Allegiance shirts. All you got to do is go to allegianceclothing.com, type in the code punch. Not only can you get that shirt, but you can get 15% off site wide. I love this shirt, man. I think this is the shirt that he wore when he submitted Ed Ruth.
That is the shirt he wore when he submitted Ed Ruth. You're right. The only shirt that is more rare than that shirt is the season one shirt. Because, and the reason why I say that is because I have the shirt that you have on right now. I do not have the green Punchless MMA shirt. So anybody that has or who has won, and we know who you are, KOF and Ray, we are getting your, I'm putting it public proclamation. Trey has your address. He is going to be sending you your shirt. So if you don't get your shirt soon, Trey's the reason why you don't have it, because I've done everything on my end to make sure that you get it.
Is KOF and Ray the dude that's in Australia?
No. Okay. No, the dude that's in Australia gets a season two shirt because he won the Shuey battle after Tai Tuivasa's last fight, which we'll talk about that because he just got booked against Greg Hardy. So we'll be talking about Tai here soon. So we've got two season two shirts that we're rolling out. And then the ultra limited edition season one is going out to KOF and Ray. Oh. All right. So, yeah. And Trey has your information. So if you don't have it.
I got it, dude. It's going out in the mail tomorrow.
All right. Fair enough. Now that I've put you on the spot and made it awkward. All right. Mm-hmm. We had no fights last weekend. So nothing really to report back on, right? Easter was good.
And I actually feel like from a fight news perspective, it was fairly mellow too. I think people wanted to take some downtime, eat some chocolate, drink some beers, see if you could find some bunny rabbits. It was pretty mellow, but brought us to this fun fight card we have here at our doorstep.
Absolutely. And to address one in the chat, yes, Amanda Hebus did get a fight booked against Angela Hill. We will be trying to get, yet again, we will start the process of trying to get Amanda on the show. We do have a listener that speaks fluent Portuguese that has volunteered his services very generously to act as an intermediary. So we will be trying to get her if we can. And then one more thing in the chat before we get things kicked off. Does Ryan Bader KO Machida? And the answer is yes. A resounding yes. That almost cracked open like a beer.
Yeah, it's almost a beer.
It's almost a beer, except for the part where it's a seltzer and then it's not.
Not a seltzer tonight.
Oh, what is it?
We have a fun card. Thought I'd bring out a fun drink. Hard kombucha for your boy.
Real quick, talk to me like I'm an idiot. What is kombucha?
Now you're going to make me look like an idiot. I don't know. It's like a bacteria, I think.
So is it? I don't understand. So why would you drink bacteria that has alcohol in it?
Because the science says it's healthy.
So science says that alcoholic bacteria is okay. All right. Hey man, I don't get it. I'm just here for it. All right. I don't get it either. All right. First fight on the main card, man. Mike Perry taking on Daniel Rodriguez. For those of you that were on Instagram live with me prior to us going live here on YouTube, Jake is taking the night off. As such, I don't have any of the odds preloaded. I didn't realize how hard it was to do that. And he's a wizard. So we're just going to talk everything out here. So Daniel Rodriguez, Mike Perry, Daniel Rodriguez, -160. Mike Perry is at a +130. Over under on rounds, Trey, is at 2.5, with over 2.5 coming in at -130. Under 2.5 coming at +100. Mike Perry with a professional record of 14-7. Daniel Rodriguez at 13-2. This is a fun fight, man. This is a fun fight. My leaning in this is to go towards Daniel Rodriguez, but Mike Perry has found this weird way to win fights with his girlfriend as his cornerman. It's a very strange, it's a very strange thing. I don't really know what to do. I think I'm going to go Daniel Rodriguez just because you can get him at a good price at the -160.
So is he having, what's her name, like Latricia or whatever, in his corner?
Latori, and yes, LaTori. She will be there.
I will say, like, you know, he went through that period of his life where he was completely erratic, getting shit-faced at bars, beating up random people, and his life seemed like it was a total disarray. Had a baby. I know, Dale, your thoughts with you know, guys in the UFC that have babies, and mm-hmm. that makes them a little bit soft. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like it actually brought a little bit of structure to Mike Perry. He hasn't been in the news as much. Seems like he's a little bit more focused. He's training at, I'm blanking on the camp, but it's the same one Colby Covington's at right now. So he's had a little bit of structure. You know, I think he's fought the better competition. Obviously he had a tough outing against Tim Means, but you and I are big Dirty Bird fans. We think with his range and his length, I mean, he's a force to be reckoned with. He's dealt with the grapplers and Mickey Gall. You know, he's had tough loss, like split decision losses to like Vicente Luque, who's on an absolute hot streak right now. I'm still going to go with Mike Perry. I'm not going Mike Perry, obviously, with the heart. I don't like Mike Perry in the slightest, but I think that from his stand-up, he's got that heavy right hand. I just think Daniel Rodriguez is going to walk in and probably get clipped. I would like to see an inside-the-distance play on this, but I really like Mike Perry in this fight.
Okay. So, like I said, over and under rounds is at 2.5. Under 2.5 is coming in at plus 100. So that might be worth just something looking at. I don't think you're going to knock Mike Perry out. If nothing else, he's shown that meathead is almost impenetrable. you can do enough damage to it that they'll stop the fight, right? But you can't, you're not going to separate him from consciousness. You can break a limb and they'll stop the fight. But again, I don't think you're going to separate him from consciousness. He's just too dumb to be knocked out. So I think that Daniel Rodriguez is, you know, he's going to be there the entire time, which will present the opportunities for Mike Perry to be successful in the ways that you're talking about. I don't know, man. I think, gosh, under 2.5 seems so juicy if you think that Mike Perry is going to win the fight. If you don't, then I believe you should probably take the over. I don't see Daniel Rodriguez finishing Mike Perry. So maybe dog or pass fun money on Mike Perry might be the play here. Mm-hmm. Just do a small little play on Mike Perry, have fun, hope that he wins and gets a fun knockout. Yeah. But I don't know, man. It's really hard for me to get super invested in a Mike Perry fight. I just don't know what version of him I'm going to see.
Yeah, I don't think anyone does when that guy has a baby.
Yeah, it's so weird. What do you name his kid? Something strange too. Like, what do you name his kid?
I didn't even know.
It's something geographic.
I'm still thinking of it.
No, it's something it's something geographic. Forest. Yeah. That's sure. Cool. I think it's Ocean. He named his kid Ocean.
That's not true.
That is true. He named his kid Ocean. It's a boy too. It's a boy named Ocean. Mm-hmm. Ocean Perry.
Teach their own.
Hey man, it's your kid. You can name it whatever you want. They got to live with it forever. Not you. All right. Nina Ansaroff taking on Mackenzie Dern. Nina Ansaroff at 10-6, Mackenzie Dern at 10-1. Trey, this is my most confident play of the night. Nina Ansaroff at a -135, Mackenzie Dern +105, over on rounds at 2.5, over 2.5 at a -170, under 2.5 at a +140. This will be the fight that will be on my slip at the top. You can put it in caps lock, not the L word. Mackenzie Dern. How do you not take Mackenzie Dern here? How do you not? She's constantly working on the hands, world-class jiu-jitsu, and Nina Ansaroff is coming off of having a baby.
To the goat, though.
To the goat, yeah, but I don't care whether she had a goat baby or not. It's still she's still coming off. Like, it's different if Amanda Nunes becomes a mom. It's something else entirely when you carry the child inside of you. Mm. Now, you could make the argument that Nina Ansaroff essentially took steroids for 9 months because she had like double the blood, double the adrenaline in her body, double, you know, everything. Right. So like, it was almost like she was like on EPO, TJ Dillashaw. But you also know as well as I do, once you stop taking steroids, you get weaker. Yeah. So unless the baby's going to be cage side in some sort of simulated danger, I think Nina Ansaroff is not going to be strong enough to deal with the exchanges with Mackenzie Dern. My non-scientific approach to this fight.
Wait, I didn't understand that. Was she on steroids?
No, but she had a baby inside her, which is essentially like being on steroids because she had twice as much blood, twice as much adrenaline, twice as much organs in her. She was essentially like a superhuman because she was two people in one.
That's super titty milk, dude.
I don't know anything about that. I don't want to talk about her breasts, but I do want to say that essentially when you've got double the blood, you got double the red cells, double the white cells. It's essentially like blood doping.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing I'm worried about, though, and I'm a little bit shocked, sir, of a guy that is so vehemently, oh, dude, women's MMA is a coin flip. Women's MMA, I'm going dog or pass every single time. Like, yep. Dude, I'm staying away.
Mackenzie Dern's a dog here. So
I know she's a dog, but you've never been so steadfast in choosing a women's fight. And this is what I'm a little bit confused on.
Okay.
Omit jiu-jitsu from it.
Okay.
Who is more well-rounded?
I don't think Nina Ansarov is that good, to be honest with you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm just going to be, there's such a skill disparity when it comes to women fighters. Like there's such a skill disparity. There are like the highly talented. Then there's like just the middle journeyman type. And then there's the ones that you wonder why they are employed as a professional fighter. That's really, you know, I think Nina Ansarov is somewhere in that like middle journeyman area. Mm. And I think she's already reached her ceiling years ago. She's not getting any better, but she's also not getting any worse. It's like the, like we just saw with Alexis Davis beating Sabina Mazo, right? Yeah. Alexis Davis went out there and employed journeyman grizzled veteran tactics and got a win doing the same thing that she's been doing for the last 15 years. Just Sabina Mazo wasn't ready for it yet. Mackenzie Dern, all things considered, is better than Sabina Mazo is and is in a better position to do well against a journeyman level fighter like Nina Ansarov. Nina Ansarov's not winning a world title ever. So Mackenzie Dern has the possibility of doing that. Nina Ansarov does not.
My only hesitancy is that I do think that Nina Ansarov is going to have the better stand-up. She has fought the better competition. The Claudia Gadelha is the, you know, her last loss pre-baby, obviously, was Tatiana Suarez. She's fought the Angela Hills. We really haven't seen Mackenzie Dern one of great caliber. In a minute, we thought it was Verna Jandaroba, but we thought Verna Jandaroba was going to be a little bit more of a test when it comes to the grappling perspective. It wasn't. My biggest worry, as it's always been with Mackenzie Dern, is she's someone that likes to throw hands. She becomes so obsessed with her hands, she dismisses her jiu-jitsu. But the thing is, with her hands, she is so like, hey, by the way, here comes my right hand. It is so not well hidden. It's atrocious. I will say it's gotten exponentially better just because she's been training exclusively with Jason Perillo at the Ruka headquarters. We've seen her hands set up her takedowns. But for someone who's a jiu-jitsu world champion, she doesn't have really good takedowns. She's good when people like jump guard, or she's good with people that like want to accept, like, hey, I'm just going to test myself on the ground. Mm. Sure. When there's acceptance there, she thrives. Mm. But if there's not acceptance, she struggles to get the thing to the ground. I'm worried she's going to be in a little bit of a stand-up battle with Nina, where I think it's going to be a back and forth affair. What is this set out here? 1.5? 2.5, probably 2.5, right? Because it's a women's fight.
I believe so. Yeah. 2.5, over 2.5 at a -170, under 2.5 at a +140.
Man, I kind of like the under because I could see a firefight ensue, and or I could see Mackenzie Dern getting a sub. I'm on with you. I think Mackenzie Dern's going to get this thing done. I'm just worried about her stand up in comparison to Nina's.
So you're on my side. You're just worried about how confident I am.
Yeah, which makes me want to fade it immediately.
Okay, well, fade me then. Fade me, bro.
I'm not going to. Fade me, bro. Dern was my pick, and you stole that.
You're right. I'm going to let you choose the rest of the main card. I'm going to let you go first. You're right. No, I hijacked it. You're right. No. That was your subtle way of calling me out on hijacking, and I appreciate that.
I don't know. That was my one L word, and I just,
All right, buddy. So here we go. Sam Alvey taking on Julian Marquez. Sam Alvey at 33-14. Julian Marquez at 8-2. Smiling Sam Alvey just signed himself a new deal. He's feeling big. He's feeling strong. And he's got a big test ahead of him here. Taking on Julian Marquez. Sam Alvey at a +160. Julian Marquez at a -200. Over on rounds at 2.5. Over 2.5 at a +100. Under 2.5 at a -130. Which I feel like might be a trap, because I'm not sure where the under 2.5 is coming in at, or why it's coming in at minus money, unless Vegas is thinking the same thing I'm thinking. But I just told you that I'd let you go first. So what are you thinking when it comes to this fight?
I'm going to ask you a question first, sir, actually.
Okay.
I'll tack it back there.
Okay.
How do you get a 5-fight contract extension when you were on a 4-fight losing skid, your pink slip was on the locker, and you don't even get a win? You get a draw.
Because Sam Alvey puts on fan-friendly fights, and he is a cemented gatekeeper. He knows exactly where he's at in life, right? Like Sam Alvey, I'm sure if you asked him, he would say that he wants to be world champion one day, but I don't think Sam Alvey has any delusions of grandeur, if you will. I really believe that, you know, he knows where he's at in life. And he comes out and he's a good test to see where new and upcoming talent's at, because he presents a lot of tricky problems, right? He's highly durable. He's a southpaw. He's got good knockout power. He's been training at what, Team Quest, for Lord knows, probably, you know, since Team Quest was, I don't know, in its infancy, right? So, I mean, the guy knows exactly. He's just a good test for people, and he probably is okay making the money that he's getting paid, whether it's 30 and 30 or 40 and 40 or whatever. He probably doesn't rock the boat. He just smiles, walks out to Train's Hey Soul Sister, and either tries to knock you out or get knocked out in the process. He's the kind of guy that you want. I mean, Dana White wants cash cows and people that play along, and Sam Alvey plays along. So yeah, keep signing him. He's going to keep showing up. He's also not afraid of a short notice fight, and Dana White loves people that aren't afraid of a short notice fight. So yeah, you sign him to a 5-fight deal, you probably get three out of the way before June.
Okay. So, well, sorry, are you going Sam Alvey?
Oh, it's your turn to go first.
I don't want to go Sam Alvey. I'm not a fan of this fight. I'm going to stay away from it. Julian Marquez, I mean, I thought he was losing to Maki Pitolo until he got that last-minute anaconda choke. I'm a big fan of Maki Pitolo, regardless of his poor run he's had in the UFC. I actually think he just fought like a couple – I think he fought over the weekend in a different promotion. Yeah, I'm almost positive. But I'm a fan of Maki Pitolo. I think that he was he wasn't in the right weight class for that. I think this fight back at 185, which actually is a little bit tougher for Sam Alvey cutting down. Sam Alvey's notoriously durable, but is he durable at 185 to cut to that? Sam Alvey's obviously also a counterpuncher. You got someone in this Cuban Missile Crisis that is Julian Marquez, who's going to march forward, who's going to throw heavy. I'm a little bit worried with someone like Sam Alvey, who's predominantly a counter striker, who does make those like fan friendly fights engaging because he's in the mix and he likes to work in close quarters and he likes to throw back, give one when he receives one. I'm a little bit worried about the chin of Sam Alvey. I know he is durable, but cutting down that weight, this makes it tough. I don't know, man. I'm kind of leaning more towards Julian Marquez if I had to make a play, because I like when he's fought in close quarters and made it more of a grinding fight with like the Phil Hawes's and the Darren Stewart's and stuff like that. I'm going to lean more Julian Marquez, but I'm staying away from this fight.
Okay. So Maki Pitolo's got a fight coming up with Dusko Todorovic in June. So definitely.
Oh, really? What was I seeing then?
Yeah, I don't know. And then
maybe it's a grappling expedition or something.
Maybe something like that. So my concern with this is Marquez's stand-up is not good. And that was the big takeaway in the Pitolo fight, was that jab was awful. He looked like a kitty cat pawing at a laser at the end of the fight. It was not good. And I'm afraid that if Marquez gets in a firefight with Sam Alvey, especially the longer this fight goes on and the more tired he becomes, the cardio did not look great. The stand-up did not look great. The longer the fight goes, the more likely it is to me that Sam Alvey wins the fight. Mm. So I don't know. Maybe I know it's a 2.5, maybe taking the over 2.5 here. All things considered, I will probably be avoiding this fight. I don't see any of the lines in the 100 range that make me feel super confident in any way, shape, or form. And then, all right, what do we got here? Macy Barber versus Miranda Maverick, book for July 24th.
Ooh, MMA heads with the breaking news.
He always comes in here, man. My man's always in here. It's like Tuesday night at 10:30 is like a fight announcement dump where he just the UFC or somebody rolls him out and he gets his little Adam Schefter style tweets going and then he throws him out there. So
yeah, dude, that's Schefty right there.
It is very sure. Schefty, very Schefty. MMA is the Schefty of the MMA world. Yeah. And I like Miranda Maverick in that fight.
That's a lock.
That's a lock. Lock it up. Lock it up. I like Miranda Maverick. Yeah. She looked a lot better this last time out, which made me feel a lot more comfortable about picking her.
Agreed.
All right. Let's see here. I'm going to butcher a name. You ready for me to butcher a name?
Yes.
All right.
Let's do it.
Kyle Dawk is taking on Alishkab Kizhriev. Alishkab Kizhriev. Kizhriev.
Kizhriev.
We'll go with that. Okay. That's the most honest effort that I can give that. And you've got this fight at essentially a pick'em with the over on rounds at 2.5, over 2.5 at a -165, under 2.5 is at a +135. Dawkus brothers are on a roll, but you've got Kizhriev who's undefeated at 13-0. My man calls himself the Black Wolf, straight Caucasus Mountain Warrior, with a win over ground and pound style over Husamar Paul Harris, or as the Americans like to call him, Paul Harris. So Paul, you got a guy that most notable win was beating Paul Harris, going against a Kyle Dawkus, who's at 10-1 as well, coming off a win over Dustin Stoltzfus. Not exactly the same level of competition. If you're asking me, I'm going to go Caucasus Mountain Warrior just based on name and locality alone. I'm going to go Caucasus Mountain Warrior 13-0, the Black Wolf. I'm going Caucasus Mountain Warriors, bro. I can't.
13-0 against who?
I told you he beat Husamar Paul Harris. He beat your boy Paul Harris.
Kyle Dawkus has fought better competition.
Stoltzfus.
Brendan Allen.
He lost to Brendan Allen. Doesn't count.
Doesn't matter. That was an awesome, awesome fight. Talk about the grappling of grappling affairs. Kyle Dawkus is a sneaky, sneaky, amazing grappling submission expert. Dude, when it gets to the ground, the Black Wolf is going to lay down and submit like the proper doogie he is, man. I'm telling you, Kyle Dawkus is slick. He's fast. He's durable. If it gets on the ground, dude, your boy, the Caucasus Mountain Warrior, I'm not giving him Caucasus Mountain Warrior status. I'm like, why am I saying that, dude? He's like a Russian, I don't know, dude.
How are we not going Caucasus Mountain Warrior?
Because he's not from the Caucasus Mountain region, dude. He's from Machkalaka, Russia, dude.
That's true. That's true. He is. He might not be a Caucasus Mountain Warrior. That's a good point. I'll have to look up and see where Makahala is at in Russia, and then maybe we'll adjust it. I don't know. Sean says, come on, Dale, we got Wawa. You're right. Wawa changes. Wawa covers a multitude of sins. Trey has no idea what we're talking about when we say Wawa.
Like the Philadelphia, like the Wawa. Like you go down the Wawa and you get some shady stuff.
No. So the Wawa is so
water talk, and baby.
No, so we're gonna talk about economics for a second. So Wawa is in essence the most perfect model for a gas station humanly possible. So one thing that they do very well is all Wawas are employee owned and operated. So the employees there aren't like normal gas station employees because the better that their store does, the more money they make.
It's like a Buc-ee's, dude. Have you ever been to a Buc-ee's?
No idea what you're talking about.
Buc-ee's is the cleanest bathroom gas stations in Texas, dude. And they have a full like cafeteria where you can go in.
That's how Wawa is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Made to order food and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You can like touch screen any time of day. I can get a foot long breakfast sandwich with sausage, egg, and cheese and bacon and everything else. Then I can get a burrito. Then I can get chicken tendies. And then if I want a steak, I can get a steak. Like Wawa is legit. I love Wawa. Yeah.
Would you take Jen to the Wawa for a date night?
They have really good pretzels. So I would absolutely take the wife out and we'd go to Wawa and get some pretzels for sure. 100%. We don't have any Wawas in Charleston. But if somebody was interested in a franchise opportunity, I'll be your Huckleberry. I will gladly contribute financially to the franchising of a Wawa in the greater Charleston area.
Would you get gas at the same time or no?
What do you mean? On my date?
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing worse than having gas on a date. Dude, if you're going to give me softballs, I'm going to hit every single time.
Yeah, the king of the dad jokes.
Doesn't say I've been a dad for too long. You can't just throw them out there and have me not say it. All right, man. Yeah. Co-main event of the evening, Arnold Allen, 16-1, Sadiq Youssef at 11-1. Another fight that I absolutely love. I freaking love this fight. I am so happy that I get to see Arnold Allen fight again. The guy is incredibly talented, just not very active. Plus 105, Sadiq Youssef minus 135, over in rounds at 2.5. Over 2.5 is at a minus 200. Under 2.5 is at a plus 160. I'm going underdog here. I'm taking Arnold Allen. I know I said I'd let you go first. I'll let you explain why, but I'm just letting you know, Arnold Allen.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going Arnold Allen too. I think there's actually a step down in competition, I think, for him. Obviously, he's not coming off something that significant in a Nick Lentz win, but the UFC knows his potential. He's had canceled bouts with Jeremy Stephens as well as Josh Emmett, who, you know, we hope to see back fairly soon. But they know that he is a force to be reckoned with. Sadiq Youssef, on the other hand, I just haven't really seen much from him. I mean,
yeah.
Andre Feely, you know, when I was bummed because I actually thought Andre Feely won that fight.
I did too.
So I don't know. I think this is a good chance for Arnold Allen to exercise his wrestling as well as, you know, mix in his striking, which he's really well diverse and he's really well rounded. He's athletic, great footwork. I think this is a tough fight for Sadiq Youssef. And yeah, I like Arnold Allen.
I like Arnold Allen as well. That's good. I agree with your assessment. I like it a lot. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. So you know what I did? Fun fact is that because we're recording so late now, I usually am so amped up after we're done, I have a hard time falling asleep. So you know what I did? You know what I did about 20 minutes ago?
Some booger sugar?
No, it's booger sugar. I need to go to sleep. I don't need to stay awake longer. I need to go to sleep.
My mistake.
Yeah. So I took some melatonin. So we're going to start speeding up here a little bit.
You should have gone the other way, dude.
No, I need to go to sleep. I took some dang melatonin, bro. It's stupid. Going down. Yeah. All right. So main event of the evening, Marvin Vettori taking on Kevin Holland. Kevin Holland, who no-showed us. Does the curse continue going into Saturday night? For those of you who are unaware, if you no-show the boys, you lose your next fight. Or in the instance of Hannah Goldie, your fight gets canceled. It's nothing that we're doing, right? And it's not that we're not meant to be ominous when we say these things. It's just something that we've noticed that if you decide that you no-show us or that you cancel an interview with us, bad things happen. Again, it's not a threat. It's a weird thing that happens. Kevin Holland, plus 255. Marvin Vettori, minus 330, Trey. Over, under on rounds. Is it 4.5? Over 4.5 is at a plus 130. Under 4.5 is at a minus 160. So who do you like and how do you like it?
How do you not go Vettori? And if you're Vettori, how do you not walk into this and just shoot for a takedown?
Yeah.
We learned the blueprint that is Kevin Holland in his last fight. I think the one thing that's been a bummer for Vettori is he's had canceled bout after canceled bout. He's had 3 in a row. His last win was against Jack Hermanson. So it wasn't that long ago. It was back in December. But the thing is, when you're preparing for different fighters, I mean, you're changing up your game plan every 5 seconds. Kevin Holland, we did see he does have heavy strikes, but he has no ground game whatsoever. Exercise that. Throw the feints out there. See if he wants to. What are you doing?
I was going to say, am I wrong? Did I read somewhere that Kevin Holland is supposedly a black belt under Travis Luter?
There's no way. He didn't even white belt shrimp, dude, out of his last fight.
Why do I feel like I've read that somewhere? Somebody has told me that. Am I? Is it the melatonin talking? I'm pretty sure that Kevin Holland is supposed to be a black belt under Travis Luter.
That's the melatonin. What type of melatonin did you take?
I'm just saying, okay. So let me break this. Let me break this down real quick.
MMA heads are saying yes.
Oh, we got a couple people. Look, it's Ethan.
There's no way.
Ethan, Sean, Keith. Luther's gonna make Joshua Fabian unaware. and yeah. Okay.
There's no way, dude. If that's the case, I'm going and getting my black belt tomorrow, dude.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Jesus. So here's the thing, right? There's three angles I'm looking at for this fight. I don't like Marvin Vettori at the 300 juice. I can't play him at that. There's no point in it. And I don't necessarily know that I like risking him at a parlay as like my final parlay piece for the night. Maybe I will. But there's three different options I'm looking for here. One, I like Marvin Vettori by decision is coming in at +160. I think if Marvin Vettori wins, I think that's how he gets it done. I don't think he's going to knock out Kevin Holland. I don't think he's going to submit Kevin Holland. But I do think he's going to – I do think he can ragdoll him and maul him for 25 minutes. So I like him at the +160 on decision. Kevin Holland by knockout is at +500. Again, I don't think that Kevin Holland is really going to win this fight anywhere else other than knocking out Marvin Vettori. And if he does so, +500 is a really great line to get it at. And as such, Kevin Holland money line is at the plus – what I say, what is he, +225 area? So let's just say in the off chance that he can't knock out Marvin Vettori, but somehow manages to get weird on the rounds, +255. If we're playing both sides of this, man, there's an opportunity here where if you're doing fractional units on Kevin Holland by knockout and Kevin Holland money line and like a double whole unit play on Vettori, you can make money regardless. So just something to consider. That's how I'm looking to play a fight like this, because I don't know another way to play it, because I'm not going to just play -300 on Marvin Vettori. I can't do that, man. I can't do
that. No, absolutely not. Five rounds is a long time, though, man. I don't know.
It is a long time. It's a long time to talk and get your ass kicked by Derek Brunson.
Yeah.
It's a long time. It's a long time to have a guy with the skill set of Derek Brunson maul you in front of millions of people while you talk to Khabib cage side.
Yeah.
That's a long time. It's also 10 minutes longer than what we were asking for the interview that he no-showed for. So, anyway, hey, man, I'm just calling it how I see it. All right, let's roll through these prelims. I'll give you the fights, and then let's pick some winners and losers here. All right?
Let's do it.
All right. Your boy Impa, he's back, man. Impa Kasangane taking on Sasha Palatnikov or Palatnikov. Impa's at 8-1, Palatnikov at 6-2. I'll give you the rounds on it. Impa's at a -290. Palatnikov is at a +230. Quick take, who wins and how do they get it done?
I think you got to go with Impa. I know that people get weary of a quick turnaround off devastating knockout or viral knockout against Joaquin Buckley, but you know, I said before, and I'll say it again, even though I said Maki Pitolo once, he beat Maki Pitolo. I like what Maki Pitolo has. I do think that Impa is very well-rounded. I'm going with him in this fight. I just think the only thing I'm worried about is when you get a clip to that degree, you know, it takes a minute to recover.
Okay. I'm going to lean towards Palatnikov for two reasons. One, he wears socks in the cage, which a lot of people don't do anymore. He's got the cutout socks. And then two, he's got that big win over Kosei in an absolute firefight. And Kosei is a big, strong bull of a human being, just like Impa is. And so I don't think that the power is necessarily something that he's going to shy away from. So if you're looking for a dog that's going to fight for your money, I think Palatnikov is a dog that can fight for your money. All right. Da'an Young taking on William Knight. Young is at a 13-2. William Knight is at 9-1. Who do we like here, Trey? Because we got Young at a -140. William Knight is at a +110. Over on rounds is at 1.5, with the over 1.5 being -150. Under 1.5 is coming in at a +120. Is this one where we just play the under and hope for a finish?
Why is money coming in on Young? Dude, honestly, like I
he's big.
I know he's massive, dude, but at 6'4", a crazy reach of almost 79 inches. Yeah, he's a big dude. But who has he fought? He had the draw against Sam Alvey that we talked about earlier. He had a win over Mike Rodriguez. Okay, whatever. What?
I like Mike Rodriguez. I think that's a quality win.
I don't think that's a quality win.
Okay.
I actually put more weight in a canceled bout against Alonzo Menafield than I would over that.
Okay.
I think William Knight is going to come in kind of the pit bull. He's going to come in that guy who's going to push you up against the cage. He's going to clinch heavy. I think that he's going to have cardio to elongate the fight to a certain degree. I think he's also going to make the fight really dirty. And I think that the biggest thing that Dawes can be able to do is exercise his reach and his length. But with that reach and length comes slow response time. He's not the quickest striker we've seen standing up. He doesn't have the best footwork. He is durable, but I think it's going to be dirty. It's going to be close quarters. I don't think this is going to be inside the distance. I like over 2.5. Is it if it's at 2.5?
1.5.
Lock
in 1.5. All right, man. I
like the over, and I like William Knight in this fight, but if I had to just put it straight up, go on the over.
Okay. All right, Luis Saldana at 14-6, taking on Jordan Griffin at 18-8. Every time I bet on Jordan Griffin.
Jordan Air Griffin?
Yeah. I lose money every time. Plus 110, Saldana at a minus 140, over and under on rounds at 2.5. Over 2.5, minus 195. Under 2.5 is at a plus 160. Every single time I bet on Jordan Griffin, he costs me money. Every single time. I expect him to come out, expect him to use his speed, expect him to use his cardio, expect him to use his wrestling. And one of those three links in the chain fails every single time I bet on this guy. I want to bet on him again here, but Saldana is so slick. I just don't necessarily see. I think he's going to expose yet again one of the three legs of the tripod that is Jordan Griffin, and he's going to tumble the whole thing down again. So I'm going to go Saldana at a minus 140. I don't want to play a super chalk play like that, but I'm going to take it. Minus 140, give me Luis Saldana at 14-6, too. Gosh, what a salty record. Damn it.
I misspoke, dude. Not Jordan Griffin. I was thinking
you're thinking Charles Jourdain, but I wasn't gonna, Jourdain, yeah. I wasn't going to correct you. I'm not in the spirit.
Yeah, of dude, Jordan Griffin, native psycho, which is still freaking dope. It's a
very good name. Very good.
Yeah.
Name.
Yeah, dude, I'm going Saldana as well. I think slick submission. He's got a really good front kick, which is really dangerous when someone like Jordan Griffin's going to try and close that distance. Yeah. I don't know. The loss against Yusuf Salah and Jordan Griffin did not tell me a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. Lost against Chaz Skelly, dude. I don't think that's telling you much either.
Dude, Chaz Skelly's the scrapper. I'm telling you, that was my freaking lock of the night when that fight got canceled. So there will be no disrespect to Chaz Skelly on this show. This is a Chaz Skelly program.
Free zone, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Jack Short, 13-0, taking on Hunter Azure at 9-1. This is a great fight too, man. I keep saying that about every single one of these fights, but damn it, Trey, this is a great card, man. I really freaking love this card. Azure is at a plus 125. Shore is at a minus 155. Over on rounds is at 2.5. Over 2.5 is at a minus 160. Under 2.5 is at a plus 130. This is another good fight. I like Jack Shore, man. I like the Welshman to get it done here. I think he goes to 14-0, even though Hunter Azure presents a lot of problems. He's like, I don't do anything great, but I do everything very well kind of fighter. He's durable. He's got decent wrestling. He can mix it up with the hands. He can threaten from anywhere. I really like Hunter Azure, but I like Jack Shore here. I like the Welshman. Let's give me some – dude, the Welsh will make me wealthy on Saturday night. I'll be Welshy. I'll be Welshy.
Blue eyes get you.
Huh? Listen,
blue eyes get you?
You know how I feel about baby blues. I am a blue-eyed baby. You know how I feel about my blue eyes.
You call Damian Maya the human backpack, yeah?
I feel like
that's what you always say. Yeah.
Jack Shore
is the real human backpack, man.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's been around long enough to earn that title, but he's definitely like a satchel. He's like a human satchel.
Oh, that's good. I'll go with that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. You'll give me that one? All right, cool.
Yeah, because that guy will just slick onto your back, slip in that rear naked choke, which he's done time and time again. Hunter Azure, he's a guy that gets a little bit scared when it comes to submissions, and I think that's what we saw in that Brian Kelleher fight. Brian Kelleher, while Brian Boom, dude, is all about those hands, what is Brian Kelleher known for?
A guillotine, bro.
That guillotine, when that submission makes itself a little bit available, Hunter Azure kind of closes and freaks out. Well, that's what he's going to do with Jack Shore. He's going to curl up on a ball. Jack Shore is going to go around his back, cinch in that rear naked. Game over.
Okay. Your boy, Jorgen DeCastro at 6-2, taking on Yaris Donho at 5-1-1. I know you're excited that Jorgen's back. Should we just go ahead and let everybody know it's going to be your biggest play of the night at a minus 280 against Yaris Donho at plus 220 over and arounds at 1.5? Should you just tell people that you're going to slam Jorgen DeCastro in every parlay imaginable?
I refuse to body shame today, but I will say I do think Jorgen DeCastro is going to get this done.
You think he gets it done?
I think he gets it done.
You're not going to say anything else about this fight?
I think Jorgen DeCastro is a more technical fighter. I don't think he has the power that most heavyweights carry. I think that's why he loses to heavier strikers like the Greg Hardys and the Carlos Phillips. Carlos Phillips couldn't get it done, obviously, but he's a decision king. Jorgen DeCastro is a guy that's just going to be there. I think that he'll be able to pepper you. I think he could go to – this is one of those fights. Heavyweights are usually set at 1.5. This one's set at 1.5 from taking the over. I think Jorgen DeCastro is not going to get put out, but I also don't think he's going to put someone out.
Yeah, it is at 1.5. At even money, too. Even money for over under 1.5. All right, over 1.5 here. All right, perfect. Perfect. I love that you're I'm proud of you. I know that's a weird thing to say, but I'm proud of you for being so contained when it came to I tried really hard with Jorgen DeCastro there. Did you know he's got a new like strength and conditioning program? He looks lean.
Oh yeah. What? Instead of the full bag of Cheetos, he does a quarter.
There we go. I needed one out of you. All right. John McDessie at 17-7, taking on Ignacio Bahamondes at 11-3. Dude, here's the thing, man. I like John McDessie. He's been around for a long time, but I also feel like every time I watch this guy fights, he suffers some sort of highlight reel freaking loss, right? Like he is he's like a good character actor, like a person that you see in like a million different TV shows and movies where you're like, oh, what's that guy's name? Oh, he was in that. What was that movie he was in? John McDessie is that guy. He's the MMA equivalent to that guy where you're like, who got kicked asleep? Who got their jaw broken? Who was the dude that got dumped on his head? Oh, it was John McDessie. That's right. So he's coming in at a plus 155 to Bahamondes at minus 190. I think that juice is a little bit much on Bahamondes, if I'm being completely honest with you here. But I'm also not going to take John McDessie at a plus 155. I'm not going to do it.
Dude, what are you talking about?
What do you mean?
What did you just say for the past minute?
What are you talking about? You froze. Oh, Trey's frozen. Let's see if we can get him back. Come on, Trey.
I think I lost you.
No, I'm good. What are you coming at me all crazy for?
I don't understand what you just said for the past minute, dude.
What do you mean?
You went to Hollywood and then you said something about what? Replay this for me.
John McDessie is the MMA version of a character actor, somebody that gets cast to play the same role in a million different shows and movies. Everybody knows these actors, right, that you see in a bunch of different things and you can never place who they are. You're like, oh, I remember seeing him in this or seeing her in that. They're called character actors. This is a very common thing. I'm not reaching here. John McDessie is that guy. He is that guy. So what I'm saying is he's the MMA version of that because John McDessie is always on somebody else's highlight reel. He's never creating a highlight reel of his own. So when you're like, when have I seen this guy fight before? Well, you saw him fight whenever he got spinning wheel kicked to sleep by Lando Venata, or you saw him get his head kicked in by Donald Cowboy Cerrone when he got his freaking jaw broken in, or you know what I mean? Like that's literally who he is, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's always on somebody else's highlight reel. He's a character actor in MMA. That's what I'm getting at. Maybe it wasn't the best, but it felt that way to me. No. Felt like I said a good thing there, but now you made me feel dumb about it.
No, you're totally right. And I was saying that because I needed to like go into my memory bank for a second and remember what have I ever seen John McDessie do that sticks out in my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm just realizing that, yeah, he's just been this like slab of meat that's been in highlight reels that he hasn't done anything. He just kind of is there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So are we going John McDessie?
No, I'm not going John McDessie. Maybe we should. Let's go with the veteran leadership.
No, I'm not going.
John McDessie. Bahamondes is a wildly creative striker, and I would look to see him knock out John McDessie. I'd be looking to take an Ignacio here by knockout. I think he gets it done, and I think he can do it in a highlight. So I would play Bahamondes by knockout and hope for something really fun during the fight as a real like fun, you know, we're just gonna have a good time with this fight. Because McDessie is prone to being on the bad end of somebody else's highlights. All right. Speaking of highlights, Norma Dumont at 5-1, taking on Erin Blanchfield at 6-1. A fight that I did not think that you would care about at all. I'm gonna just you care about this fight a lot. Why do you care about this fight so much?
I care about it because of the line. I know we don't have the odds pulled up, but
we do. I'll tell you right now.
Okay, what are the odds on this?
I'm sorry,
bad girl. I was gonna say bad boy, but it's a chick fight.
It's bad. Yeah.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, just leave it at girl. Don't say the other thing that you're thinking. All right, let's see here. I had them pulled up.
I'm going to tell you right now, Norma Dumont's going to be freakishly favored, and that is truly disgusting.
You think so?
She's going to be in the minus 200 something.
Yeah, Norma Dumont minus 255. Erin Blanchfield at a plus 200 over on rounds. Trey is at 2.5. Over 2.5 at a minus 300. Under 2.5 is at a plus 240.
What has Norma Dumont ever shown us? I know she did just fight in November against Ashley Evans-Smith, but
she's very large. She's
very large, but she fought Ashley Evans-Smith, who honestly hadn't fought in a freaking minute and didn't look like the Ashley Evans-Smith of yesteryear. Ashley Evans-Smith came into that fight, didn't know where she was. The limelight got to her. She looked like it was like, hey, I'm here. I'm kind of getting a paycheck. I guess I'm going to try and fight. I'm kind of out. We didn't see the Ashley Evans-Smith of yesteryear, so we didn't get to see who Norma Dumont truly is. We saw her lose pretty significantly to Megan Anderson.
She got knocked out by Megan Anderson, yeah.
And then prior to that, she was fighting the regional circuit. So we haven't seen anything. Erin Blanchfield, on the other hand, she's coming from Dale, I just took my melatonin, the East Coast late vibes.
Oh, gang, melatonin gang, what's up?
Dude, we're not... Unless we're looking to get sponsored by melatonin, then any melatonin company out there, please reach out to chat at punchlessmma.com.
Absolutely. Nature's miracle. What's up?
Erin Blanchfield's coming over from Invicta. She's legit. She's got great kicks, great karate style. She's got, she'll kind of lead with that. She kind of has a wide stance and she'll kind of like kick you from distance to kind of keep you at bay. But she is someone that in a minute's notice can rush in and make it an ugly fight. I like her. I think she's got a great fight IQ. I think this is one of those prospects where it's kind of like, hey, we made a little bit of name off Norma that she took down a quote unquote vet. But hey, we see something in this Invicta star coming over. It's a great platform for her. I love that this fight's in the apex for her. If this fight was over in Jacksonville the next week, I'd probably kind of want to stay away because I don't know how the bright lights would fare, but being in the apex, it's just like Invicta days for her right now. As of recent, I'm going to go with Blanchfield in this. I'm going to take the plus money. Why not on a women's fight? You got great value in this. And this chick is devastating.
She's had head kicks
to her name.
Your hyperbole is through the roof tonight. I don't understand it. So first of all, she's
Americana head kick. Freaking dude, she's got doctor stoppages. This is a killer.
She's a flyweight coming up, whereas Dumont is a featherweight coming down. It's going to look like two different species of human being out there. I'm honestly worried that Norma Dumont's not going to make weight. Just to be completely honest with you, I'm afraid that she's not going to make the weight. She's massive.
That's fair.
She's massive because Blanchfield is a flyweight moving up. Now, that being said, they probably have the two best nicknames on the entire card. Erin Blanchfield, cold-blooded.
Cold-blooded, dude. I just call her a freaking killer, dude.
Cold-blooded. And then the flip side of that, Norma Dumont, the immortal. The immortal Norma Dumont.
dude, I'm sick. Don't say, and MMA heads the same thing. Oh, Blanchfield's moving up. Dude, she had a canceled bout against Pearl Gonzalez. Pearl Gonzalez is a thick triple C chick, dude.
She is.
So don't play the pulling.
But it was canceled. It doesn't count. They didn't actually fight. You realize when the fights are canceled, they don't actually happen.
No, dude, you've seen in every episode, canceled bouts are a resume bout, dude. I consider that a true fight. Fight happened, but it didn't.
All right. In their head, it happened. All right. Two more fights, dude. Let's put a bow on this thing. All Scott Holtz.
Melatonin, man. No, I want to talk more.
I see it. Well, now you want to talk. Yeah. All right. Scott Holtzman at 14-4 taking on Matheus Gamrot at 17-1. Holtzman is a pretty sizable underdog here, as you and I talked about earlier. Holtzman at a +195, Gamrot at a -235. Over on rounds here, Trey, is at 2.5. Over 2.5 is a -245. Under 2.5 is at a +205. I like the idea of playing hot sauce Holtzy here. But I don't know, man. I think Gamrot 17-1, dude. It's really hard to go against that.
17-1 against who, dude?
I don't know, man. Do we really want to take Holtzy here?
I'm gonna take Holtzy, dude. I don't think he looked that horrible against who I think is like the freaking best in the division and Benny Dariush, man. Outside of that spinning back fist that he just got murdered on. Scott Holtzman's fought legit people, Jim Miller. So we know that, you know, when he beat Jim Miller. Good ground game of Jim Miller. Dongyun Ma, good striking there. Nick Lentz, vet. Like, he's fought the who's who. You've said this a billion times. Scott Holtzman is one of the most durable dudes out there. You know, he is a vet. He's got good fight IQ. I do worry about quote-unquote legends. I don't think Scott Holtzman's a legend, but I do worry about that in the apex cage, close quarters. Gamrot hasn't fought anyone of that caliber. I'm going to take the plus money, dude. Hot sauce that shit. Let's go.
All right, I'm taking Gamrot.
Dude, you called me earlier today and said you were taking Holtzman. Now
I know. No, well, here's the thing. No pick is official till it shows up on the plays we like slip that comes out on Friday.
You know, whatever, dude. You know what?
I might switch my mind up.
True colors.
Okay. You know what? There's nobody that's willing to ride into the darkness of betting on all underdogs more than me. So don't come at me with the whole talking about true colors thing. I will bet every underdog on this card. Are you closing out? Are you getting out? I thought you were going to leave the show.
Disappointed.
What are you disappointed in?
Because we have listeners that literally live and die by Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman. How dare you do that to them?
We'll
hear it tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. Well,
when we hit 101,000 downloads, by the way.
Okay. That's tomorrow?
That's tomorrow.
All right. I'm excited. All right. Let's see here. We got one more fight, man. Which one is it? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, dude. It's Jim Miller, isn't it?
Best nickname in the game, playa. It's a whole show of nicknames where I keep saying that somebody has the best nickname, and then I realize there's people that have better ones. Jim A-10 Miller at 32-15, taking on Joe Selecki at 10-2. Jim Miller, they love feeding these young lions to Jim Miller, and Jim Miller loves taking his old man walking stick. And he shakes it at him, and he says, "Listen here, you wily young whippersnapper. I'm Jim Miller, the mountain man Jim Bridges." Beats the shit out of him. He pushes him back, and he continues to fight another day. The most active fighter in UFC history, my man Jim A-10 Miller. I can't say enough nice things about Jim Miller. And he's taking on a young killer in Joe Selecki here. You want to talk about an underdog you're riding with? I'm riding with Jim Miller here.
Jesus, dude.
I'm going to ride with Jim Miller, bro.
Oh, my God.
Dude, +195, Joe Selecki, -235, overrun rounds at 2.5. I'm taking Jim Miller, man. Give me the A-10 Warthog for one more lap around the sun. Let's go.
Dude, geez. Melatonin, last fight of the night. Guys, do not play that. Fade this at all cost. First off, A-10. I don't know why you think that's the best. I know it's this big, freaking, gnarly bomb plane or some shit. It sounds like steak sauce. What is that steak sauce?
It's called A. That's A1.
Yeah, same difference.
I mean, an A-10 is actually a small aircraft. It's not a large aircraft. It's actually quite small. But go ahead. Yeah.
Dude, he looked so bad against Vince Pichel, who hadn't fought in what, 50 years? Like,
yeah, but Vince Pichel is from hell Pichel. He literally is a human Rottweiler. That's who Vince Pichel is. Who looks good against a human Rottweiler?
Dude, Joe Selecki.
Joe Selecki, that's who we're taking.
Dude, Joe Selecki's fought like vets, just like Jim Miller, dude. He's fought in the freaking Matt Wyman's. Like,
don't you dare bring Matt Wyman into this. Don't
Matt
you dare.
Matt Wyman and Jim Miller are like freaking brothers, dude.
No, they're not. Oh my gosh, you are. Yes, this is MMA blasphemy here to call Matt Wyman and Jim Miller MMA brothers.
Been around about the same time, dude.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I can't wait for freaking, oh my gosh, whatever, dude. That's fine. That's cool. You go ahead and take him, man. You go ahead and take Joe Selecki.
The only thing I'm going to do for Jim Miller is I am going to sprinkle Jim Miller by submission, because that is literally the only way he gets this thing done. Okay. Jim Miller by submission. That's the only play I'm making on that fight. That's it.
Fair enough. All right. So let's run through these fights real quick. Just give me a winner loser. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Impa and Sasha Palatnikov.
Impa.
I'm going Palatnikov. Young and Knight.
Knight.
I'll go Knight as well. Griffin and Saldana.
Saldana.
Saldana as well. Shore and Azure.
Shore.
I'll take Shore as well. DeCastro and Donho.
DeCastro.
All right. Right. in a fight where I wish they both lost. All right. John McDessie and Ignacio Bahamondes.
Bahamondes.
There we go. Norman Dumont, Aaron Blanchfield.
Blanchfield.
Dumont. And Holtzman and Gamrot.
Holtzman.
Maybe Holtzman. Jim Miller, Joe Selecki.
Joe Selecki.
And Jim Miller. Mike Perry, Daniel Rodriguez.
Mike Perry.
Okay. Nina Ansarov, Mackenzie Dern.
Dern.
Dern, lock it up. Sam Alvey versus Julian Marquez.
Oh, God, dude. I'm going to go Julian Marquez.
Oh, I don't like it either. Maybe I'll take some dog money on Sam Alves. All right. Alishkov, Kizriv taking on Kyle Daukaus.
Daukaus by sub.
And dude, you're so crazy. I'm taking Kizriv until I can figure out where he's at in Russia. Arnold Allen versus Sadiq Youssef. I'm taking Arnold Allen.
Arnold Allen.
Marvin Vettori, Kevin Holland. I'll take Vettori.
Vettori.
All right. Outstanding. Guys, if you haven't already done so, and you are capable of doing such things, please go over, as far as Instagram is concerned, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, shoot us an email, chat at Punch SMMA. If you've won shirts off us, they're coming your way. Trey has your information. If you've ordered stickers, I've got stickers en route to the house. As soon as I get it, I will send them out. So many of you guys asked for stickers that I thought that the ones that I had would be enough. I don't have enough. I had to order more. And then also, if you haven't already done so, please head over anywhere you possibly can. I'll put their socials up right here. Go to Ram Fighting Championships. Go to ram-fc.com. May 8th, we'll have a show. I will be there. Trey will be there. Trey, you're going to be there.
Am I wearing my mask?
You are going to wear your mask. Trey will be there with his mask on. He'll be visiting the low country here. Yeah. And he'll be visiting the low country. And then IG at ramfightingchampions.com. Be sure to, or not, I don't know why I said .com. I'm sleepy. Just IG at ramfightingchampions. Be sure to give them a follow. Again, I took some melatonin. I'm pretty tired at this point. But May 8th, Trey and I will be there doing the damn thing. We'll have the cans on. We'll be doing it. Appreciate everybody that continues to support the show. 100,000 downloads is nothing to scoff at. Appreciate everybody that continues to do it. Joshua Fabia, maybe next week, right? Maybe we'll get Fabia next week.
Maybe next week.
We'll see. And then we'll see if the Kevin Holland, Marvin Vettori curse continues. If Kevin Holland loses on Saturday night, it will be 0-6 people that have no-showed us and their records following no-showing on the show. So we shall see. Anyway, thanks everybody that continue to support the show. Support the show by supporting the sponsors. And then, we'll talk to everybody this weekend. Be good to each other. See you later.
Bang, bang.